All right, guys, we have Landon Meadows here. Contrary to my name, Landon Arcangelo. So the names are going to get thrown around a little bit, but we're super happy to have you on. It's a crazy small world. You and Nick Palumbo were sitting next to me on a trip, cruise with my girlfriend, and just by chance, we had been in the same business, been in the same space, immediately connected, knew that we couldn't let go of that opportunity to stay connected, and I'm super glad to have you on, tell your story. There's a lot of risk involved, a lot of success involved. So happy to have you on. And why don't you give us kind of the rundown on where you've been leading up into kind of this conversation today?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, you guys are so professional. Like, I know you don't release a lot of the footage, but you guys got style, clean cut. You probably spent $100 on your haircut. Like, you guys, that's the real deal. I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh man, my hair doesn't look near as good. Let me get a hat, throw that on backwards, and try to like, oh, I got a golf shirt, trying to step up my game. But yeah, thank you guys for having me for sure.
Totally.
So yeah, I come from a small town in Wyoming that most people have never heard of. It's 6,000 people in a 50 square mile place. We used to drive 46 miles to Walmart to get groceries. And when we would go to church, there wasn't any churches that we really vibed with in our town. So we would drive down 146 miles each way to the capital of Cheyenne. And that's where we would go to church every Sunday. We'd have lunch and drive back. So driving was definitely a big part of my life. Then growing up, I always knew, look, I never slept around with a lot of girls, never drank alcohol. I never smoked or done any type of drug substances. And I kind of felt like there had to be a point to that, because obviously that made me, I wasn't the coolest guy in school by not doing those things. And I always thought there was a part of me that would just believe that, okay, this is for something, because at some point me not doing these things is going to become very valuable. So what's not valuable now will become valuable in the future, and that value is going to help somebody. But when I was praying to God all through high school, and I'm like, look, I can do this, but you got to give me someone to help me. Like, I need a girl to love. And, he answered those prayers. When I was a junior in high school, we had a foreign exchange student from Quebec, Canada, who didn't speak English. Absolute gorgeous girl. And I loved her from the first moment I met her. I was just like one of those where you're just like, I don't know if it was my head on my shoulders that loved her or something else, but there was definitely a lot of feelings right away. And, long story short, 8 years later, I'm still with her. We've been married for five years. And about three years ago, I was like, look, I was making good money. We, together, we worked 3 days a week. We had 4 days off. We lived in a 3,000 square foot home in a cul-de-sac in Wyoming. We traveled almost every week. We were going to Mexico, to Colorado. I've been to almost every place you can think of in Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, Yellowstone. We went to Montana. We were just traveling. I mean, we had money, but I wasn't impacting people. And
what were you doing?
I was working at Walmart, believe it or not. I was working in the Walmart distribution center in Cheyenne, in the freezer. I was stacking boxes.
Wow.
Which doesn't sound that lucrative, but I mean, at 19, I was making $41 an hour.
That's great.
And then my wife got a job with me, and she was making the same. So we were working 15-hour days. We'd work 3 days for 15 hours, get 45 hours, and then up to 4 days off. And
stacking cash.
Yeah. Our mortgage on a 3,000 square foot house was $1,600. So we had no expenses.
That's great.
We paid cash for like a $1,500 car, and we shared that. So it was like, hey, let's just travel and do what we wanted. But we weren't helping anybody at Walmart. And I started to get into personal development space through YouTube, and had a couple of mentors there that told me about proximity and impact, legacy, things like that. And I started to open my mind to, okay, yeah, maybe this is good right now, but long term, what do I want my life to be about? What do I want to create? Who do I want to help? And so I really started looking. I'm like, all right, there's really three main ways that I could potentially help a lot of people. either be in like in the health, nutrition, fitness space, helping people live longer, live a better life. So, okay, I could do that. But I don't look near good enough to do that. And I don't like working out. And food is just kind of like, sure, whatever. So that one was out. And I was like, plus, I don't know if that they make a lot of money. So that was done. Then I thought, okay, well, then I can either go into the hospital space, like be a doctor or maybe even like a lawyer, so something that's like very high end and get a smart college thing. I look at that and I'm like, dude, I am not smart enough for this. Like I couldn't, algebra 2 was like, that was my max in high school. So like, yeah, I ain't going into being no doctor, none of that stuff. And then I looked into money and I'm like, you know, this actually makes sense to me. This is applicable to everybody. People need to understand the game of money. So I started studying wealthy people and looking into real estate, looking into business. And I was like, man, the people I knew growing up in my small town, like nobody understood this stuff. I'd never been exposed to business, to anything other than just getting a job. And so that really made a mind shift. And, you know, long story short, they had a different route, but I ultimately hired several coaches. And one of those coaches was a guest on your guys' podcast, Nick Palumbo. And eventually I was working with him for about 6 months and I was paying him for one-on-one coaching. And I was looking to take the next step and like really become a holistic advisor, understand the game of money, get proximity to a good team and good people around me, because you know the other mentors were like, hey, who you hang around is who you become. I'm like, well, I need to understand the game of money. Nobody around me knows the game of money, and I need to have money, and nobody around me has money, so I got to make a change. That led me to move to Westchester, New York, which is where I currently live. I got the opportunity to Nick, actually, when I hired him to coach, he told me, he's like, look, I've coached a lot of people and I see something in you that's unique. Your integrity, your spirituality, and your sheer hunger and desire is different. If you move to New York, you can work directly with me. I won't charge you for coaching. I'll teach you everything I know and I personally guarantee your success. So I'm like, well, that's an easy decision. Let's jump. Baby, are you ready to go? My wife and I, we moved up to New York, and that's where we've been growing ever since. And it just goes to show that it really is powerful who you're around.
I don't think enough people understand how important it is to take that radical action that you just took right there, right? And I think one of the biggest reasons is because they don't believe in themselves. And so they're constantly stuck with analysis paralysis. Like, what if this goes wrong? You know, I'm going to move my entire life, you know, to across the country to go do this. I don't think enough people, especially when they're young and you don't really have much to lose, don't ask the question of like, what if this goes extremely right? Right? The positives insanely outweigh the negatives in that situation. Mm-hmm. And so tell me about like the foundation of like, did you always have this foundation of believing in yourself, or were you already starting to instill a bunch of good habits that you knew this was going to work out?
Well, so I actually moved multiple times and it didn't work out. Since I decided to leave and pursue entrepreneurialness and higher impact, we went from having 50,000 cash in our bank, like as if it was nothing, to having nothing three different times in the past 4 years. But what I'll say to the thing when you ask about the question, did I always believe in myself? The answer is no. I had no reason to. I didn't have any evidence. So in a sense, I believed that God was going to do something amazing in my life. So I had that element of faith, but it wasn't necessarily because of my own ability. But what really encouraged me was, say I'm working at Walmart, making $50,000 a year, which there with the lifestyle we had, that was plenty. Two of us, $100,000 a year. Or I go here to New York and I start this business. Worst case scenario, it all fails, right? I don't make any money. I just give up and it doesn't fail. Which you guys and I both know, if you don't give up, then you will eventually succeed. But say I do fail and I give up and I go back home, I can go right back to the same thing. Now, if you look at me staying there in the security or the safe job, and everything goes right, if I didn't leave, I didn't take that chance, I didn't put myself in that environment, everything went right staying where I was, what's the highest level that I could get to, or the highest amount of quality of life from the amount of people I'm impacting, the lifestyle I have, who I am as a person, physically, mentally, emotionally? Think of the highest level in that situation. To me, the highest level in that situation, if everything went right, is still a failure. So by me moving, I at least gave myself a chance to succeed. So people look at it as, what if I fail? In most cases, if you stay and you don't take a chance, you're guaranteed to fail either by not having enough money because your job is only going to give you a 2% raise a year, or by not having the fulfillment because you have the regret of knowing I wasted the life that God gave.
Yeah, well said. Well said. So through that risk that was taken, obviously, on the other side of that, and we're all young on here, right? We're still figuring it out. We haven't arrived anywhere. It's the journey that's where the value is, obviously, right? But what does your life and your business look like now? You know, what are the types of people you're impacting, and what's the vision for all that stuff?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So now I went, and like I said, this is the past six, seven years, I've been studying money, why people do what they do, human emotion. I've spent close to six figures on different coaches so I could understand relationships, communication, fulfillment, happiness, purpose, and then the game of money, specifically the game of money. And you had Nick on the podcast, and he talked about the coaching. Well, after I had coached with him, my first year I went from making $30,000 to making $150,000, and then close to, this year will be quite a bit more. But, and I thought, so when I approached him, I said, Nick, this is amazing stuff. Like, the coaching really impacted me. Why don't we scale this and impact a bunch more people? And he's like, dude, I don't know how to log into Zoom. 62 years old. I'm like, wait, you don't know how to log into Zoom? He goes, no, right. I'm trying to figure it out. I have to have my assistant. I got to log in and my thing doesn't work. And his computer is so old that it just, I'm like, all right, fair enough. So I told him, I said, look, I know your systems in business inside and out better than anyone other than you. I've heard you give your presentations. I know all these other technology systems. And on the personal development side, I've been studying it for years, and I've studied your methodology. So I know that inside. I said, I also, because of being in as many personal development programs as I've been, I know how we can scale this into a profitable business, but also where you can impact a lot more people in a less amount of time, and you'll have more fun and happiness doing it. And he's like, well, okay, well, how are you going to do that? I said, well, if I do that, can we partner on this business together? And will you get behind me and support me with your resources of relationships, track record, and money? He's like, yeah, I would love that. So we partnered up together and we formulated a coaching company called Eagle Performance Academy. And then it started with, okay, we're going to coach individual life insurance agents, financial planners. And we're going to help them do what he's been doing. That was his bread and butter, what he's done hundreds of times. Getting the results for people. Well, then it started to escalate to where agencies, people that have 75 agents or 20 agents or 100 agents, they're like, why don't we, like, can we just, I want my whole organization. Because I've seen that you took a guy from 250,000 to 1.6 million. If you can take my $100,000 a year guys, move them to 300,000, I'm going to make, as an agency owner, I'm going to make a lot of money off of that. So, right. And if our guys are having a lot better quality of life, they're going to help each other. Organization as a whole is going to thrive. So right. We have next week, he's going down. There's three of the largest agencies, not necessarily the largest, but the one makes $10 million a year personal income. So like they're doing well, and they're hiring us to coach their entire agencies. And so that started to go well. And then we get approached by one of the largest privately held hair care companies in the world. And they're like, hey, we don't need like how to sell insurance or build a financial services practice, but the personal development, the team leadership, the spirituality. We have a marketing aspect of the course, video production, all of those things. We can use all those other things. Can we have like a custom package where you can coach us on these things? Oh, shoot. Okay. So started to expand into that vertical. And as we've started to experience success there, we've gotten approached by some other people that are like, hey, we want to just like help get you in front of other businesses. So it's really starting to take off in that regard. And my focus, we're still doing insurance cases. We have a $1 million premium that we're doing this afternoon. I'll talk to the people and kind of confirm the things, the numbers and everything for them. But we're not doing a lot of volume right now because we don't have as big of a team as Nick used to have. So I think to answer your question in a very long and overworded answer, it's
not at all. That's great.
I'm focusing more and more on the coaching because, like, I'm building a very scalable model on the financial services side. But as you guys know, with all the compliance regulation, like if you want to be helping people in churches all around the world, it's, you know, sometimes the compliance, things like that get in the way. So yeah. I'm all about helping people. And while I may not have 40 years of experience, I may not have all of this history, the information is the same because of my proximity, and it's not like I'm just coming up with this stuff. So that's where it allows me to impact, and my focus is really on the operations and messaging behind the business.
Couple things I got from that. One, shows how Nick actually embodies what he teaches, right? Because most 62-year-olds, if they get approached by a 24-year-old, no matter how valuable they are, they're just like, you know, Nick doesn't have the need for more money. So he's just like, dude, get away. You know, like we don't need to scale this coaching company. But he's so open to that because you were able to present him with the idea, and he truly wants to maximize his impact on this world. So that's awesome. But more importantly, what I want people to understand is the formula that you took to get there. Because that's something that we embody all the time in terms of like how to really build relationship capital with people that you could never even imagine doing so at such a young age. Mm-hmm. The number one step is to make yourself valuable. And that's what you did by taking enough risk and really embodying your personal development, your spiritual development. You made yourself valuable. And then you built relationship capital. You deposited it into that bank account, right? You constantly just brought value. So that when it came time to ask, you had enough deposits to take a really, really big withdrawal. And it's paid off since, which is awesome, man. So I love, like, I'm like a nerd behind the science around that. So thank you for being proof of that at such a young age, man. It's awesome.
Well, because a lot of people like to window shop success. They like to window shop ideas and strategies. They like to window shop, you know, the Gary V's of the world, the Hormozy's and all these people that are throwing this great game out there, but how many people actually implement it is like less, it's got to be less than 5%. The actual implementation part of it, the actual like moving across the country aspect, like Antonio moved from his home in Long Island that he grew up in his whole life to Miami, knowing like one person, you know, moved to Orlando, knowing nobody, right? It's just examples of the stuff that goes on that just most people aren't willing to do. Most people aren't willing to sacrifice, you know. So I wanted to ask you, like, what are you seeing in the landscape with your clients that you're coaching, that you and Nick are coaching, like whether it's financial services, whether it's outside companies, like what are the most common things you're seeing, you know, advisors or insurance agents or consultants or, you know, et cetera? What are you seeing them struggle with? What are they missing? What are some of the pieces that you guys are filling for them a lot of times?
Yeah. So I'd say the biggest struggles, the biggest pain points, so to speak, would be three things. Number one, they're struggling with identity, who they are, their thoughts. Most people, they think they're in. So if I were to ask you, you guys are both into personal development, so you guys are far along in this. If I were to ask you, who controls your thoughts? What would you say?
Who controls our thoughts?
Yeah, who controls your thoughts?
I would say the environment that we're in and the content that we consume.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Most people think they control their own thoughts, right? And so, which is true, you can control your conscious thoughts. You don't necessarily control your subconscious thoughts. You can program your subconscious thoughts. But when people think, oh, well, I control my thoughts. It's like, okay, well, when that guy cut you off on the Long Island Expressway and flipped you off after cutting you off and you got upset, hit your arm, like in that moment, he controlled your thoughts, right? We call this the 7 levels of awareness. It's one of the chapters in the book. And the first level of awareness is animalistic mode. In the insurance or sales business, it's commission breath. So they're focused on like, okay, right here, right now, I need money. I need that money. Then you go into the second level and it's like there's the lack of awareness on they're just reacting to their environment. So like you said, the environment that you're in. So if I walk into a room and it's like a toxic room and everyone's like yelling at each other, it's a cutthroat room, and I walk into that room and now all of a sudden my hands are up and I get in the dance. That's very low self-control, that low level of awareness. But if I walk into a room, when you have that higher level of awareness and standard for within yourself, you see all those things going on, that same situation. And yet, instead of bogging down to it, your light is strong enough, you'll affect that situation. Meaning, as you come in as this stable, secure, not sporadic force, it's enough that the other people can lean on you for that sense of stability, and you can bring the entire, I've seen it happen, where someone is strong enough within themselves. Light is always brighter than dark, right? You can have all the dark in the room. Everywhere can be dark. You can have one tiny little light, and yet the light shines right through the dark. So people don't realize how strong positive energy is, even from within yourself. So the level of awareness and controlling your thinking, that's like the biggest thing that people struggle with. Because when you don't have that, you really go through life without a sense of security of your own happiness. You don't know if you're going to be happy from moment to moment. And when, you know, you're riding that emotional roller coaster, when you're stressed and you're just like depressed, you're not going to perform at the same level as someone who's happy and confident. It's just not. So that shift really changes the game for people.
So something I think a lot of people, younger folks, struggle with is the identity aspect of things, mm-hmm. like really that identity crisis of figuring out who am I going to become? Who am I becoming? Who, you know, maybe even asking the question of who do I want to become? But, mm-hmm. but for yourself, right, you started kind of in that world of being the financial solution, the financial resource, the consultant, the advisor, the professional. You've pivoted, you know, and added a role and an identity to your life, but you still are providing a ton of value in the marketplace to clients and helping people navigate those scenarios. But then you're also building this business with Nick. So how have you gone about navigating your identity through that evolution? Where do you see that going over time as well? Like, what's your vision for yourself?
So I absolutely love that question, because most people look at their identity as in the things that they do. So in the way you ask that question, it's how did your identity shift or add or adjust as you went from, you know,
like
being
roles and activity,
doing the different roles.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reality of it is that's why people can't find their purpose, because 10 years from now, when you're in your 30s or 40s, depending on how old you guys are, you're not going to be doing the same thing you're doing right now. Hopefully not. You might be doing some similar things. And so if your identity is constantly shifting, your purpose is shifting, you don't, and it will adjust over time. But if it's just on the circumstances, you better hope you're on a winning track. Because otherwise you're going to wake up 50 years old, recently divorced, your kids don't like you, you're overweight, and now this is your current identity. So instead of like having a life that could have been good, now your life is, okay, the last 50 years sucked. The next 50 years can't be any better. I've already lost all my good times, all those things. And so the identity isn't in the circumstance. The identity is in who you are. So for me personally, I view myself as a light that God created to inspire and impact the hearts and minds of those I touch. Okay, that's why I was created. I was created to be positive energy. I was created to listen, to love people, to be kind to people. And then it's my responsibility to enhance that by learning skills that people can apply to their life, like teaching them how to make money, how to invest money, because money's a magnifier of who they are. Then learning the personal development skills of teaching them how to clean who they are, become the person that they can look in the mirror and be proud of. So my whole thing, whether I end up staying in finances, coaching, whatever it is, I'm going to be a light. And as me being a light, it's in everything that I do. When I go to the grocery store, when I shower, when I tell my wife good morning, that's my identity. My identity for me rooted with having faith and knowing like what I was created. There's a lot of different things that go into that, but the core thing to simplify it for me, as all these things adjust over time, is like be a light, smile. Like being a light, it. As simple as smiling, because most people don't smile, and that could change everything.
I love it, man. And that sense of security allows you to define success, and you no longer root your identity as an entrepreneur in how much money you make. Right. I think that's a huge thing that, you know, we gets rooted into us through social media or, you know, past beliefs that were ingrained by our environment back in the day. And so that's where you can change. You can change. You just got to get around the right people. You have to ingrain your subconscious with all these different thoughts that are positive and then redefine what your success looks like so that you're not constantly just trying to chase a paycheck. So I love it, man. I love it. As we wrap up this podcast, you know, we always ask the guest, you know, our last question. This is the Consistency Wins podcast. So sounds like you've been consistent for a while now, man. Tell us about what consistency is to you and what does that mean for you?
So a simple equation that I made up recently, somebody probably said it because I'm young and there's a lot of older people. Consistency equals confidence. It's that simple. I've heard it said from many different people, Andy Frisella, Ed Milet, Jen Gottlieb, your confidence increases your ability to keep the promises you make to yourself. That's how you establish and build confidence. Even Hormozy said it, like a lot of people have said that. So to simplify it is like, look, consistency equals confidence. If you're consistent, you can be confident. If I know that in order to achieve massive results, you can't do it overnight. You have to do it by consistent little steps. So if you know in the back of your mind that you have the ability to be consistent, then you also know and unlocks the potential in your mind, you can achieve anything you want.
Insane. I stole that from Andy too. What I deduced from it was happiness equals self-confidence, and self-confidence equals doing the hard shit you said you would do even when it gets hard, right? And that's consistency, right? So I love it, man. We are in complete alignment. It's very rare we find someone our age, you know, you're 24, we're 26. So like in full alignment in, you know, relatively the same industry. It's awesome to see, man. So, you know, super stoked to see what the future holds for you, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you guys.
How can our listeners follow you, you know, connect with you? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, Instagram is just The Landon Meadows. And then through there, I have at the time this goes live, we'll have a free financial education course that teaches people all three phases of money, our planning methodology. It's a free course. And then our coaching website, eagleperformanceacademy.com, that's going to be where first the right people where we're going to be able to go on a deeper level of impact in that way.
I love it, man. Beautiful. I love it. Just followed you. Hey, appreciate your time, man. Really appreciate you coming on.
Cool. Thank you guys. You guys are great.